Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Who's excited this morning?
So excited.
Hallelujah. I know I'm excited. I'm glad to be back in healing class, healing school, and part of this. And how many know they're healed?
I know.
I am.
All right, I'm going to ask in a different way. How many know that they know that they know that they're healed? All right. Praise God. All right, that's exciting. Well, let's give this time to him, knowing that he's here. Let's have that consciousness and that awareness as we continue on this morning. God is in this room. God is in this place.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is here.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, if you've come here with a situation, a circumstance that has anything to do with, that's health related.
Yes.
That concerns manifestation of a healing that you're believing for, that you're standing for, whether in relation to you particularly, specifically, or in relation to someone that you know, that you love, that you care for. I want you just to know that the power of God is so real. Someone say, so real.
So real.
And there's effectuating of a cure in that situation, in that circumstance, by the power of the Most High. Father, I just give this time to you. I thank you for your power and presence in this room. Thank you, Lord, because you're not bound by space or time, location, address.
Yes.
None of that inhibits the expression of your power.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, for healing made sure. Thank you, Father, for that which we have in Jesus. Because of the truth, by his stripes, we were healed. Thank you, Father, for this living reality to which we've been called. We just magnify your holy name. We give you praise because it's ours already.
Yes, God.
As we have received it with thanksgiving and grace in our hearts, we say, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 What's that disease that is bigger than God?
None.
What's that infirmity? I'm looking for names here, friends. So when I ask you, what's that disease? I need names.
Cancer.
No.
Okay, so cancer is greater?
No. You asked for names.
Sorry? Okay. Anyone? What, the question or the answer? What was misleading? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. So, I'm going to be taking the next few weeks to talk about and cement something I've talked about in the past that I feel is crucial as we move on and move forward in healing class. My expectation as we continue on is that healing class is going to get more outward looking. What do I mean by that? We're not going to concentrate or focus more and more and more and more on self as it relates to healing. We're going to focus outward. That is, in the area of ministering healing.
Mm-hmm.
To what? To others. Now, and we will find as we continue on that in actually doing that, in focusing on others, guess what happens to you?
You get healed.
As it concerns something you may be struggling with or a challenge you may be facing. Because, friends, the truth is, sometimes we focus so much on, oh, me, and trying to receive something. There's a struggle, there's a fight. Sometimes, the fight of our lives, because we're looking at something that's possibly staring us in the face.
Mm-hmm.
We spend so much time, focus is all on that. Not really on who?
Jesus.
On Jesus?
Kingdom of God?
Where we now reside, our new nativity. Because we've been delivered from the kingdom of what?
Darkness.
From the power of what?
Darkness.
And translated where?
Kingdom of light.
Kingdom of his love son, the beloved son, kingdom of light. The son of his love, Jesus. And guess what? The truth is, when we focus on Jesus, when we keep our gaze, our attention on Jesus, guess what he does in return as far as our hearts and our minds? Does it turn it back to yourself? When you say, I love Jesus, and you focus on Jesus, You get revelation of what you have received, and then that light, he turns it to what? To others. Hearing his love. Not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us and did what? Gave his son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2, 1 says, not for our sins only. He's a propitiation, not for our sins only, but for what? The sins of what? So we have healing made sure. That's what we're going to focus. That's how I'm going to start. Just to assure us of what we have first. So that you know what you have to do what? To give to others. If you don't know what you have, how are you going to give it? If you are not aware of what you've received, how are you going to be in a position to be able to what? Give it or to minister. Your attention will be on self-focus instead of on others. And so we'll get into more practical aspects, how to minister, what to look at. But guess what, friends? To get us to that state, that position, we need to know how packed we are. How power-packed we are, how set we are, what armory or artillery we have, which is awesome. Sometimes we don't stay our minds on those, okay? We're at 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Well, that's where I said for us to go. Praise God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. We're going to take it from verse 9, a popular passage of scripture. And before we get into it, like I said, I have a few classes here. So my purpose is not to cover so much ground. If you've been in healing class lately, our classes are more interactive. And then for me personally, as a teacher here, instructor here, my purpose is not to cover so much ground, but to go what? And the reason I want to do that is so that we actually do what? So that we get it. So that we actually get it. Time past of my life has sufficed to, spray scriptures all over and, you know, all over and cover somewhere, and it's great and it's awesome. Woo-ha. But what's substance? What's the understanding? What are you actually getting? You know, so we're going to go deeper and we'll just look at it. Today we'll look at a couple of passages. This is one of them. And it's a simple point I'm going to try and pass across, which is not new. I just want to keep us in remembrance of this and so that we have a hold of it. Okay? We're at 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. I think before we read, I'll ask a couple of questions. I titled this message, this class, Given Indeed, an exclamation point. Given Indeed. The word given is the past participle of what? Give. What does the word give mean? What does it mean to give?
To impart.
To impart? Okay. To donate, okay? To give, to donate, yes.
To release.
To release. Okay? One more.
Disperse.
Disperse. Good words. Mm-hmm. What else?
Transfer.
Transfer.
Let go of.
Sorry?
Let go of.
Let go of. Okay, so in the giving, there's a letting go of.
To bestow,
excellent. These are words, and some of these words are words from the originals as well. To bestow, to present voluntarily and without expectation of compensation. To give freely. To present voluntarily and without expectation of compensation. That's to bestow. E.g., for example, to give a birthday present to someone. You don't give a birthday present to someone. Say, where's my gift back or something else in return? All right, that's one aspect to give. One aspect I want us to look at is to hand to someone, to give. To give. So, moving on with this. If Eddie, I hope there's no Eddie in this class. If Eddie says, give me that Bible, please. Okay? He says, give me that Bible. We're in class, right? Give me that Bible. Or, I use Kent. If you say to me, give me that Bible.
Give me that Bible.
Okay? And I give the Bible or hand the Bible over to Kent. If someone's reporting that, if you're reporting reported speech, how would you say? He said, give me that Bible. If you're giving it, if you're expressing that as reported speech based on something that already happened. Something that already happened because I already gave him the Bible. How would you express that? Yes, Teresa.
You have given the Bible to Kent.
I've given the Bible to Kent, or the Bible has been what? Given. Do we see that? Okay. Now, in which part of that analogy or example, loose example as it may be, and for those on the podcast, I physically handed a Bible over to Kent, okay? Now, in what aspect or in which area does that convey a sense that I, for example, made the Bible available to Kent or to Eddie? Does that, I've given the Bible to him, correct? Does that convey that I made it available or provided it? Okay, now we're going to read this scripture, and I want you to follow as we read, okay? I want you to look into your own Bibles. I'll take that. So just for you to know, God doesn't do that. It doesn't take back, right? All right, we were at 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Is that clear? We're going to read, and I want you to look into your own Bibles for a reason and for a purpose, and this will all come together. I have to get back there. All right, from verse 9, popular passage. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. First Corinthians chapter 2. Yes.
I have for you are God's fellow workers.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you in 2 Corinthians?
Are you in 1 Corinthians?
Well, that's 3.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Praise God. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit does what? Searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been what? Freely given to us by God. And then it goes on, we'll touch on the next verse a little later. Now, look into your Bibles. We're going to go back to verse 9 and 10, take those together. The things that God has prepared for us, He will not reveal. He is not about to reveal. This passage says He has what? He has revealed to us. How? These things that have been revealed, friends, have a particular characteristic.
Love.
What was that?
I said love.
Love, okay. These things that have been revealed have a particular characteristic. There's something that sets them apart. Who knows what that is? Okay, and there's a reason why I said to look into your Bibles, because here's what it is, friends. All I'm doing is trying to open this scripture up as it relate, I'm going to tie it related to healing, but I want us to get the concept, get the idea first. And that's why I said to look into your Bibles. The things that have been revealed are revealed by His Spirit, correct?
Yes.
Now, these things that have been received, because it says what we have received, what? What have we, who have we received? What eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man, things that God has prepared. Now, these prepared things have been revealed. And the revelation or the revealing of them is by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Whom we have what?
Received.
Received. What's the characteristic from the verse, from the passage? Yes, Gail.
Past tense.
Prepared, packaged by the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed by the Spirit. And what? Received. Prepared, revealed, received. We have and we possess the Spirit of the living God. What the normal man, what carnal man, what a man outside of Christ, outside of God, what he cannot comprehend, what he cannot understand, we have already. Look into that verse, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. That word know is the word that means to experience, which is key. Sorry, you were saying something before? Experience. So it means to see, it means to understand, and in understanding, it means to experience. So it's not a knowing of as of just head knowledge or superficial knowledge. It's actually so that you get to experience the reality of that which you have received.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not just high-sounding stuff. I'm going to relate one other passage to it and then just tie it in real quickly. It's the word experience, so that we might know. Actually get to experience in our walk, in our living, the things. So we look at verse 9, and usually, friends, in looking at that passage, we look at something, something what? Something afar off, something in the future, what God has prepared. But what He has prepared, the passage says what? We have what?
Received.
What He has prepared has been revealed, and what has been revealed has been received. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, whether it concerns the now or whether it concerns the future, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of Christ, who guarantees what we have now and that which is to come, is where?
Yes.
It's on the inside of you.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's set. That's why it's settled. That's why it's a settled case. That's why it's sure. That's why it's steadfast. That's why it's immutable. That's why it's unchanging. Because the Spirit of glorification rests inside of you. Praise God. Another version says, so that we may understand the things that were freely given to us by God. The reason why I went through that given analogy, friends, is to try and paint a picture so that we can see what it means when we talk about given. He's not about to give the things, and we'll see what those things are. Those things are what? Are given. And we always have to think about this one. When you talk about give or given, there's always that correlation of if something is given, He did what? There was something that He did in return. What did He do? He received it.
That's right.
So it's not hanging. That Bible wasn't, how can I express this? Wasn't just hanging in the air. Sustained by some sort of force that just, it was just floating. No. So it left my what? Ownership, my hands, and translated and transferred to who? So for me to say it's given, for me to say it's given to him, that means there's a correlation of what? A reception, that he received it.
If I didn't receive it, it would have fell on the floor.
Right, and then it wouldn't be yours. You don't have ownership of it. All of this, friends, relates to, and I will tie in with, healing. All I'm trying to pass across this morning is the reality, is what I term and what is called the past tense reality of what God did. He's given to us. And of his fullness we have received, as it says in John 1, 16, I believe. We have received. Why is this important? Sometimes, and hear my heart on this, you can say healing is made available. Available where? It's good for us to understand the context.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or healing is provided, is already provided. Where? Is your healing hanging in the atmosphere?
No.
Is your healing hanging in the stratosphere? No. Healing is yours. Healing is yours when?
Now.
Do you see it that way? Notice how I haven't made reference to 1 Peter 2:24. Sorry, Kent, you had a question?
I'm starting to see it that way.
You're starting
I thought I saw it that way. Mm-hmm. But the more you talk, it makes me wonder. Because I haven't seen my healing that I've been waiting for.
Good. And that's what we're going to build towards and gravitate towards as far as, okay, seeing it. But someone, yes.
Sorry, he answered a question and said, until I receive, it, you know, and I think the confusion comes in sometimes when we don't see the healing in that salvation package, because that's when you actually received it. It's good to come out for prayers, but the prayer minister don't give you the healing. They only help you to connect to the healing which you already received.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
In that born again package.
Hallelujah. Before I was gone ahead, which is great. It's awesome. No, not a problem at all. And it's a class. It's an interactive class. So questions are welcome. Comments are welcome. We want to keep it on topic. If not, I'll just tell you, oh, I'm sorry, we can't take it, you know, right now or today. Mary, you had something, but Bookie had it. Thank you, Foma, for that comment.
When we receive it in salvation, it's kind of like someone handing you the gift. But if you don't open that gift, because you don't know what you have, you don't know the importance or how effective it can be or how much you need it, it could have been something you've been praying for this whole time. And you're like, you know, Lord, I really need this, you know, whatever, gadget. And you have it, but you never opened it, but doesn't mean you don't have it. You just never...
Received
it fully, and it's, you know,
acknowledged.
And you see, friends, thank you for that analogy as well. We're talking about gift. When you open it up, you see, that's why we must understand that distinction between having it because you've received it, and then because we're all waiting. What is that thing we're waiting to see? What's that M word? What's that?
The
manifestation.
That's it.
But that miracle, the miracle of that manifestation, has to do with you doing what?
Seeing
what? It starts with you acknowledging. It starts with you knowing that what? That it's not what? That it's not external. It's something that you have already. Because there's a difference. If you think, oh, I have to get it, or I will receive it, not knowing you already received it, you already put yourself in what? There's a disadvantage. There's a disconnect. There's a disadvantage. There's a shortage. There's a term I'm looking for.
Disconnect. A gap.
Gap, disconnect. There's a shortage. In that regard. Pat, you had something.
You don't want to
received.
Mm-hmm.
Received by an act of your will. Mm-hmm. So, Ken, there was a point where you had received by an act of your will. Just because you haven't yet manifested, don't think you have not received.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. from that point of reception, you can take your stand.
Hallelujah.
And you can remind the enemy, I have received.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a game changer, friends, when you realize you've received already. Mm-hmm. And we'll look at a scripture that opens this up more. It's a game changer when you realize you've received already, as opposed to thinking that, oh, I will, or I'm about to, I will receive,
right.
because
right.
it's external. I'm trying to get it. You're trying to get what you already have. Mm-hmm. So if the enemy can somehow make you think that, oh, you don't have it, then there's a struggle. Okay, and we'll see how, we'll get to understand how it is that this reality applies to us, and we have it already. Yes, Pat?
Well, a lot of times I think our mind takes over what the Word of God says. And when then that happens, you have to tell it it's not right. I don't care if it's here or not. The Bible says it is. Either I believe this or I believe this.
Amen.
So what do you believe?
Hallelujah. What do you believe? And that's all about the stand. What do you believe? And then how do you believe what you believe?
You don't have to fight. It's already done. Just stand on it, the Word of God.
Amen, the Word of God. And when we talk about standing on the Word of God, it's specific. Each individual is different. Mm-hmm. But there's something you have to have seen clearly from God's Word as it concerns revelation based on what He's given to you,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. I love the way this is flowering out and building up in this class. Thank you. Teresa.
When I'm struggling with a manifestation that isn't happening, I try to think, is it Hebrews? Abraham didn't consider his own frail body, but was fully convinced of the promise of God. Said he was fully persuaded.
Yes.
And he didn't consider his own body, which wouldn't have made sense in his mind.
Right. So, right. So he wasn't looking at the physical or what's surrounding him, because sometimes when you look at that, guess what? What happens?
You get unhappy. Yeah.
Discouragement. What else? Sorry, Teresa, what was that word?
Guilty.
Unconvinced. But we want to hold on to truth. The truth of God as revealed in His Word. Okay? We want to hold on to truth and not on what?
Feelings.
Not on feelings, not on sensory perception. Yes, Russ?
You can't let your mind be captured by what you see physically, because that waiting for the manifestation is going to be a battle between what you're perceiving to be real facts versus what the truth of God presents you with.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe the truth, God's truth can change any fact that currently exists.
That's right. That's right.
But you've got to stay focused on that and not be distracted.
Hallelujah. Amen. Doris.
And what brought it home for me, Pastor, was when I was studying this out one day, because I was going through the same thing with Ken on an issue, and the Lord took me to the scripture that says, when you pray, believe that you receive. And he took me even deeper and even asked me questions like, okay, Doris, so when do you believe that you have received? When I pray. And then he summed it up with this: signed, sealed, delivered.
Hallelujah.
And it was just like a light went off. You know, I want to run around and tell somebody, but it was nobody to tell. I can tell you like that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Kitty, you had something. Thank you, Doris.
You have to think there's that, whatever the doctor says, and there's truth, what God says. The doctor may say, you have arthritis, there's no cure for it, but fact says, truth says, no, I've been healed.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let's get even more. I want to go more practical, so to speak. Okay, it's not that I'm trying to put doubt in your hearts or in your minds, friends, but how many times has the doctor told you something that was not accurate?
Never.
I can tell you, I've been told I was having a heart attack.
You were told?
Yes, the doctor was in. I was, from the emergency, from the urgent care. From the urgent care, they called, they called, whatever, ambulance. Oh, he's having a heart attack, blah, blah, blah. They came, put all those things on, put me in an ambulance, whisked me over to the U of M, and they were like, and then they got into the room. I've shared this in the past. And I'm sitting on that gurney or whatever, facing, looking upwards. I called for my wife to come in and everything. And the nurse is just scrambling. Oh, sir, you're having a heart attack and this and this and we need to take off your clothes. We're gonna cut you. They started saying some things, trying to draw blood. And the lady that came to draw blood couldn't even, she was so like, she couldn't get the blood out. And then and then ran out, you know, and then just ran off. And then my wife was there and I just told her, I said, honey, I said, they can do all the checks and all the searches, whatever they want. They're not going to find anything in me that relates to a heart attack. The enemy has nothing in me, you know, and I told her because it was a huge worry, you know, and I was just confident that they can search all day long what they want. And they did test after test after test. At the end of the day, the head of the unit, overall head, because different people came, and you know how that affects billing, right? Okay, I was stuck there. I don't need to tell you what that bill came up to. The overall head of the unit came, sir, you're not having a heart attack, you're good, and all of that stuff. I'm like, but imagine telling someone, a young man, I'm just in quote, right, that, oh, you're having a heart attack. Now, someone who may not be in a good place or whatnot, don't just pronounce things on people or say things, you know, so you're having a heart attack, but, or even if it was, by the power of God, that thing got arrested real quick,
right.
Heart perfect right now in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. Based on something we're about to see in the next verse we're looking at. Wow, where does time go?
Wow. Yeah.
So I asked the question, how many times have you been told something that didn't pan out?
Right.
Oh, you have this, they're quick to throw the names out.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that thing, if it latches in your heart, if it gets a hold of you, then fear comes up. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I have this. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. Or if he says you have this, then what's your stand in that situation? What does your heart say? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Before your mouth speaks, it's what's in your heart that comes out, friends.
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. So is the living word, which is the truth, as Kitty says, is that resident in there? So that's what comes out.
That's right.
Mary.
Just think about what you're saying there where Jesus said, take no thought.
Right.
Saying. Mm-hmm. That's take it. When you say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Friends, that happens a lot. And I can give you example after example of them saying, oh, you have this, you have that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They can say, oh, you have pancreatitis or something. And you're like, no, I don't. Something to do with pancreatitis. Why did you ask? Absolutely, and I love that. Okay, well, let's look at this scripture real quick as we go on. Like I said, I'll continue to build on this, but I just want to settle this in before, you know, I was talking about artillery that we have on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. Ammunition, if you like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that.
Yep. Which is awesome. Okay. wow, so many things coming to my head. And it talks about weapons of warfare and all of that stuff. But guess what the encouragement is? We've used that word already today, S word. It's about what? It's about S-T. S-T. The stand. It's about the stand. It's about the stand. Regardless of what comes your way, friends, you're steeped in God's word. And let's see this scripture, 2 Peter 1:3. Let's look at that real quick. I guess that would be a closing point for today. I haven't gone into it much, but it's awesome. We'll continue next week. 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter in chapter 1. Verse 3. 2 Peter in chapter 1, verse 3. Here's that transfer. Here's that conferment. Here it is, this truth and living reality conferred on us. Look at it. KJV says according. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm reading from New King James. As his divine power has what?
Given.
Someone say what?
Given.
You see that word again? Has given, that is, he's about to give to us, possibly will give, may give if he thinks about it. Okay, all right, move on. As his divine power has given to us some things.
All things.
A few things.
All things.
All things that what? Pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Let's stop there. I'll leave verse 4. It says, as divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The word life there is the word Zoe in the Greek, is the word Zoe, as you know, in the Greek. That means the life of God, eternal life. That means life as God has it. So he's given to us all things that pertain to life, his life. First, I know people make application, to this life and this world, because you want things of this world, you know. You can make those applications if you wish, however that is being revealed to you. But let's look at contextually. It's talking about the life of God.
Yes.
Life as God has it. Has given us unto us, his divine power has given unto us, all things that pertain to life, his life, and godliness, that is his nature, the divine nature as it concerns God, as it concerns godliness, as it relates to holiness and piety and everything, all that God is. I didn't grasp that. I didn't take a hold of that by some crooked means or whatnot. He conferred, he bestowed that. All of that on me, on you. How? Through the knowledge. Who has called you? Through the knowledge of him. As I mentioned, this is not just head knowledge. This is not just spirit knowledge. This is knowledge that comes about. This is knowledge, closeness, oneness, intimacy that comes about based on union. Based on union. Says he that is joined unto the Lord is what? 1 Corinthians 6. 17. Mm-hmm. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. There's a oneness. So it's knowledge that comes about based on partaking in his life, in his nature, based on oneness. And that oneness is in the spirit first. That's how all these blessings, that's how all things, the good things, the glad tidings, the blessings, all of that is conveyed, is by the Spirit of the living God. Okay, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Look at next verse, by which have been given to us. We see it again. Wow. Can he emphasize it? Ever so much more so, and you know, over and over and over again, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of in the world through lust. Here it is in a nutshell, friends. Exceeding great and precious promises. These precious promises are promises, are all the promises that relate to salvation,
amen,
that relate to Christ. They're not just promises here and there that we can just go claim individual promises and hope that they come true. Because it is by these promises made sure that we are made partakers. We're already made partakers of the divine nature. Did you get that?
Yes.
We're not about to be made partakers. Mm-hmm. We are already made partakers of the divine nature. So all these good and precious promises are the promises that point to Christ, are fulfilled in him, 2 Corinthians 1:20. He didn't say some of the promises.
That's
all
right.
The promises of God in Christ, they are what?
Yes
and amen. They find fulfillment in him. And he is in us now on the basis of what? Salvation. So the promises and the acceptance of those promises in Christ make us partakers of the divine nature. And we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I started by talking about that transfer that occurred from the kingdom of darkness into that of light. What's in that package called salvation?
Healing.
Everything. All things.
Forgiveness. Deliverance. Prosperity in relation to well-being.
Prosperity.
Yep.
Protection.
Wholeness. Being set apart. So it's a complete package. And in that package is your healing and health. Did you hear me say that? In that package is your healing and health. So that your healing and health is the part of the what? All things. Which you have what?
Received.
Freely received. It's in that package. and it's yours.
Amen.
When we come back next week, we'll see how the Spirit of God on the inside, how that this particularly relates, how this plays out in the area of manifestation.
Amen.
As it concerns your healing. Reggie, you had a testimony, a quick one, 1 minute. Time.
I'll try. So you mentioned at the start of this that your focus is going to be outward as opposed to inward.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up pancreatitis for some reason. Back in September, I went to a hairdresser. You know, hairdressers like to talk, and she's talking about her difficulties getting insurance and such. And I asked her what was wrong with her, and she said it's her pancreas. You brought up the pancreas. And she has pancreatitis. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, how can I pray with this gal, you know? And the thing is, on the way to the hairdresser, the Christian radio station I was listening to, is they were giving testimonies. And one gal had called in and talked about her daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreas cancer. And I didn't think much about it until the hairdresser said, and my white blood cell count is high, so I have to go get tested for pancreas cancer. And I thought, okay, this God put me here for a reason. So I said, you know what? It's the strangest thing I've heard on the radio. Somebody talked about pancreas cancer. So I just said, in the name of Jesus, pancreas be healed and pancreatitis be gone.
Praise God.
We talked a little bit, but not much after that. It's the good stuff. So if we can have 1 minute here. I went back to her last week and to get my hair cut, as you can probably tell. And I asked her how she was. I said when I prayed with you, because I didn't talk to her much after that, I saw, did anything change for you? Because I kind of saw her body language. And she says, and she was telling me lots about this, and she says, you know, the thing that sticks out, she says, when you live in constant pain and then it's gone, it's really different, she says.
Praise God.
So,
praise God.
So she's telling about how, because when you have pancreatitis problems, you deal with it by not eating. She says, you know, I can eat. I don't have to watch other people eat. I can sleep.
Praise God.
She says, I went to the doctor. I forget what she told me. She was having measured. She says, these levels. She says, they go up and they go down. But this time, they were just normal.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Praise God. Prayer team, who's up today? Man, just so you know what you have, you've received healing. And we're going to clearly draw the distinction between, okay, what you've received, how does that relate with seeing the manifestation, seeing it live in your body, and how to make that connection, that bridge. And it's by God's word, friends. It's by God's word. Stick on God's word, getting into his word,
amen,
which is healing and health to us, which is medicine,
mm-hmm,
to our souls, to our minds, to our bodies. Father, thank you for healing made sure. Thank you, Father, for victory that is yours, ours, and you, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the healings manifested in this room this morning.
Yes, God, right now.
Bodies made whole. Amen. Hearts restored fully. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you have a concern or a health issue or something you want to discuss with the prayer team as it relates to health or something that is a challenge at this time, meet with one of our prayer team members here, and trust me, that's taken care of by the power of God.
Amen.
See you next week.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Praise God.